And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and in the studio with me, I have some very wonderful University of Alaska Southeast students, Heather Burge, Felix Taya, and Joe Lewis. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so Heather, I'd like to go ahead and start with you because you've been given a very pretty awesome honor lately. Heather has been chosen as the Outstanding Graduate in the Bachelor of Liberal Arts, the Alaska Native Languages and Studies program at UAS. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, so was that a surprise?
yeah, it definitely was. It's a pretty big honor, and I really appreciate the support that I've been shown from the faculty and staff at UAS, yeah.
And could you talk a little bit, because the Alaska Native Studies program has really in the last couple of years taken, you know, kind of this whole new breath of life with a new instructor and a kind of a guide for that program. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your process and your journey through the program.
Yeah, so the program that I'm graduating in is relatively new at UAS in the last couple of years. There's been a really strong student push that we had, this designated emphasis in Alaska Native Languages and Studies that we hadn't had before. Une Lance Twitchell, in the past couple of years that he's been with the university, has really built a strong language and Alaska Native Studies community, and there's a real strong sense of camaraderie with the students backing Tlingit Haida and Tsimshian languages at the university, and it's been fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better undergraduate experience within that program.
And how has a language played a part in your life since very young until now?
Yeah, so I'm actually not from Southeast. I'm not from Juneau, and I'm not ancestrally Tlingit, and so coming to the university, I was really interested in cultures and language theoretically, and my first experience in a Tlingit language class really sort of opened my eyes to these very endangered indigenous languages of the places that I happen to be living in. I just felt, ethically, I felt like living here in this place, I had to sort of give back to the community that was giving so much to me intellectually and personally, and so studying Tlingit became this huge part of my life, and through that, I've been also studying my own indigenous language, which is Mohawk from upstate New York, and so languages and the way they play a role personally and spiritually and academically within people has just been huge in shaping my academic pursuits, I guess.
Sounds like UAS is actually quite lucky to have you as well. Heather, what's up next for you? Are you headed off to graduate school, it seems like?
Yeah, so I am going to the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada for my master's degree in linguistics. I was offered a full-ride scholarship there, and I'm pretty pumped about it. I'll be focused on Tlingit language, of course, with plans to come back with this really sort of technical knowledge of how Tlingit works linguistically and how to teach that and bring that back to the community.
So it sounds like in your UAS pursuits, you are now linked to Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, it is home. That's definitely true.
That's great. Well, congratulations on that really incredible award. And your future sounds so bright. So thank you. Also in the studio, too, tough act to follow, guys. I'm sure you'll rise to the occasion. Felix Taya and Joe Lewis are both peer advisors at the University of Alaska Southeast and also have some really cool things coming up. One of my favorite groups in Alaska coming to town. Felix, you want to start us off there?
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah, we're really excited to have Bumua this weekend, April 25th, come in and perform live at UAS, which will be their first performance at UAS. So they've been in Juneau before, but this will be their first live concert at UAS, which is going to be held in the Egan Library. So it's going to be a big venue. We're expecting a lot of folks to come out. This is going to be a free event for the community. So we're really looking forward to having them. And they're also going to have a dance workshop, too, beforehand. So they're going to have a Yupik dance workshop. They're going to lead it prior to the concert. And that's also free and open to everyone. So this is going to be a really big day.
What time does it start?
The concert, like Joe has it all listed here.
So I'm the go-to guy for the times and locations. so you can attend the concert at 9 p.m. in, as Felix said, the Egan Library. But if you want to really shake things up, you can attend the Yupik Dance workshop at 7 p.m. in the Glacier View Room.
This is a pretty amazing opportunity that it's free. I mean, that is actually huge.
It is, yeah. This is like the culmination of a semester-long Alaska Airlines student concert series. So Alaska Airlines gave us these tickets, and we went out and got some great performers to come up here to Southeast Alaska and perform. And one of the great parts of that is that they're free. So they're free and open to the community. And so we've had some wonderful acts come up here, some great bands, and to finish it off, we have Bumya, who's world-renowned, and they're going to bring some great Inuit and Yupik dance. We're really excited to have them.
Joe, you guys also mentioned that you're a peer advisors at UAS, and I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I can guess what that is, but I'd probably only guess a mediocre part of what it is you actually do. So can you kind of fill us in on what does that mean at University of Alaska Southeast?
So actually, I've been there the longest out of any of the people that we have on staff. So I feel like I've got a pretty good hand on the position. But it's a lot more.
Right?
Yeah, right. So it's a lot more than what you would see on paper. So on paper, you would see that you help students day to day. You answer phone calls. You transfer. You schedule appointments for the staff and faculty that we have on board. But there's a whole other aspect. You can take a part of student advising. You can help students pick their classes if the advisors are too busy. You can help with some minor questions. Really, I've done just about everything there, and we're like the front desk essentially for all of UAS. So if at any time you call the university, the main line is our desk, so you've probably talked to one of us.
I always find it helpful if I go to a place and I know somebody who is kind of like me can walk me through the steps of, you know, so you're not talking to somebody who's has been out of college for 50 years, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so if people are kind of looking for the UAS experience, you know, because fall registration, summer registration is up and running, so is fall, is that something that they could, you know, kind of call you and say, hey, how do I do this?
Absolutely. For any of the questions that you might have, either we'll know the answer or we'll know who can answer it for you. So that's the good part about having us as students being the main line to UAS is that we can either solve your problem or show you to someone who can solve it.
That sounds great. Felix, what this Alaska Airlines concert series?
Yeah, UAS student concert series.
That's great. What other bands have you seen, or what other groups have come to town?
Yeah, previously we've had performers such as Eclectic Approach, a band which different members from across the country, but they're found in California. Also, Almost Classy was here a little while ago, also a great performance. We've also had Daka Boom, which is a comedy duo. They've also come up and performed live. So we've had four total now with Bumya coming in. So this is the first time Alaska Airlines has offered this, and we're super pumped to hopefully do it again next year. We're waiting to see what results in that. But it's a great opportunity to bring the community and the UAS community together for something that's memorable and builds connection.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed and stay tuned for the concert series for next year.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
great.
So, Heather, you walk this May, yes?
Yeah.
And people will be able to come give you all sorts of accolades as the outstanding graduate for the Bachelor of Liberal Arts in the Alaska Native Language and Studies program.
Yeah.
What day is that?
It's Sunday, May 3rd. Starts at 3.
Sunday, mm-hmm. May 3rd. Are you excited?
Yeah, it's definitely winding down. There's a couple more finals, a couple more projects that I'm working on, but it's soon.
That's right. People don't know if, you know, the radio listening world might not know that finals week is next week. So even to have you three in the studio at the same time for 15 minutes, that's pretty big stuff. Yeah. Well, cool. Joe, can you give us those details one more time about the Bumya? Just an amazing, a free concert of Bumya. They're incredible. So check this out. Times one more time, please.
Yeah. So Bumya, you can listen to the concert at 9 p.m. in the Egan Library. Or you can attend the UPIC dance workshop at 7 p.m. in the Glacier View Room.
Thank you. Felix Taya, Joe Lewis, peer advisors, and also running very cool concert series out at UAS, and Heather Birch, outstanding graduate in the BLA in Liberal Arts, Alaska Native Languages and Studies. Congratulations to you, and thanks so much for coming out, guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
Thank you.
Ay 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 ay
Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, and it's 17 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me now, I have the As If folks. That's right, the Alaska State Improv Festival returns to McPheeters Hall this year. And what a cool festival that Eric Caldwell has brought to town. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you very much, Shona.
Yeah, so As If kicks off tonight, correct?
Yes, we have shows tonight at 6 and 8. We have shows all through Sunday at 6 and 8 at McPheeters Hall. And we've added a new feature this year, As If After Dark, where we're doing 21 and over shows at the Hangar Ballroom at 10 o'clock on Friday and Saturday.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So also in the studio here, we have the cool thing about As If, too, is that not only does it blend local performers here, but it also brings top-notch performers from all over the country to kind of show us how it's done and play with us, really, because that's how we all get better, right? So I'd like to welcome these improvisers to the studio, and I would just love if you could introduce yourself and where you come from, and we'll start over here.
I'm Stacey Hillel, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Welcome to town. And who do you perform with?
With a duo called Joyride.
Joyride. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Are you part two of Joyride?
Yeah, I'm part two of Joyride. Yeah, I'm Chase Padgett. I am also from Portland, Oregon, and I am the other superior part of Joyride.
The other superior part.
I'm the ride part of the joy.
Okay. And I'm Kevin Miller from Austin, Texas, and I'm the narrator of History Under the Influence, which is improvised drunk history.
I imagine that will be the after hours.
It's part of the after hours one, yeah.
Go figure.
I asked for a kiddie show, and they said no.
So. Yeah, well, you know, get what you can. Well, cool. So I just want to talk a little bit about a duo. How does that work in the world of improvisation? Because a lot of people, I think, when they think of improv, they think about theater sports or, you know, these, like, competing games, essentially, and I say games with a very air quotey. But I was wondering how does a duo work in improv?
Well, duos are my favorite, actually. I've done probably mostly duo improv, especially when I travel for festivals. But we do long-form improv, so we create a whole story rather than just short-form where you're creating 2-3-minute games, and then you get the next suggestion, do a new game. We'll get a suggestion off the top and then create more like a play that's 25 minutes long.
And with two people, that seems like it would be, have you all worked together for a while? And
Well, relatively speaking, not as long as many of the duos that are out there, but we've actually hit it off. We've been together for, what, a year and a half now?
Yeah.
But the moment we first started improvising together, we both went, oh, there you are.
Yeah, and it's like dog years, too, because we also have a sketch comedy show and toured for 5 months together in the car and on the road doing that show all over North America. So
I feel like once you tour together, there's like a whole, you're pretty much married at that point.
Yeah,
or you hate each other.
married or divorced.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even in this duo, but when you find a single improviser that you have that chemistry with, where you know their rhythm and you know what's coming next, then it's made up on the spot, but it's just a beautiful thing that emerges.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I'm your spokesman.
Thank you very much.
You're hired. Yeah. Where do you all usually perform? Are you mostly touring, or how does that work?
I founded a theater in Portland, Oregon. So we perform a lot at Curious Comedy Theater, and then we do our sketch show at Fringe festivals across Canada, and we've done Orlando Fringe together.
Mm-hmm.
First time in Alaska?
Yeah, this is my first time in Alaska, and your crows are gigantic.
Yeah, they're ravens. Yeah.
Those are not crows.
Those are not crows?
Rookie mistake.
My bad. I'm being deported now.
We'll keep you through the weekend. How about that? Okay. Kevin, that's a really, you said drunken history.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I spend the hours before the show getting legitimately poop-faced drunk. And the cast is all sober, and they take the stage almost like any improv show. And I ask for a historical event from the audience, which I may or may not know anything about. And I just start narrating like I do. And they try to act it out as I go. And inevitably, I interject constantly and correct them and occasionally jump on stage and do something myself. They actually have emergency handcuffs on hand so they can attach me to my chair if I get too unruly, which has happened a couple of times.
That's like the modern version of the Big Hook.
Yes, exactly.
I'm curious, what causes you to get unruly in that situation? What's the spark?
Alcohol?
Well, that's the fuel.
Yeah, that is the fuel.
What's the ignition?
No, most recently we were doing the Civil War, and I decided that the story didn't have a good enough love angle on it, and so I jumped on stage as the Confederate soldier that the Union soldier had to fall in love with, and I think it went well, but I am not the best person to ask.
Fair.
Everything needs a love story, really.
Yeah. It's a fun show. We've done it as far away as Finland, so this is the second farthest I've ever traveled for this nonsense.
So do you travel with a team, so you have your own troupe?
Yes, we do. And but the nature of this festival, I have a couple of friends coming from other cities that are going to join up with the troupe and be a part of it as well. So it's sometimes a mix-and-match cast, and they just get to see how well they can deal with me. I also do sober improv. I just feel the need to mention that.
Right, you're like, it's not all about late night.
It's not my only...
But I'm not in your show, but I do have to say there is something magical about when you have the right combination of drunkenness and soberness and a mix of improvisers.
Yeah, I'm a silly, happy drunk, and I really don't trust anyone else with this show because people become very unpredictable. I've got that right amount of cheerfulness / belligerence, but it's all in good fun.
Yeah, I rate improvisers are just, that's no good.
Exactly. You don't want the angry drunk improviser.
No, we see that all everywhere anyway.
Right, yeah.
Improvisers are an angry sort.
We are. Look at us. Look at the scowls on our faces.
Accepting other people's choices. Gross.
No.
The answer is no.
Right. No.
Great. So, there's lots of performances, Eric. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, the schedule, so people can come see you all.
Absolutely. The schedule is online at asifest.org. We have 17 groups from 11 different cities. We have more Alaskans this year than ever before. We have a group from Talkeetna that is coming. Yeah, they've been performing in the Denali National Park for a decade, and nobody
scientists
knew.
Just discovered them.
They're good at hiding when other people come around. They improvise hiding spots.
There's also a gentleman from Sitka who used to direct Purple Crayon Improv out of Yale, who is doing a one-man show where he grabs an audience member, brings them on stage, and does a two-person show with that individual.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Which is great for everyone in the audience but the
that
dude.
Person.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
What time is that so I know not to go?
That one is Sunday at 6 p.m.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure a lot of people
We also have the College Improv Tournament National Champions, Tal Grande Venti from Cal Arts.
Nice.
One of their members is an Alaskan out of Soldotna, so we're really happy to have that Alaskan connection there as well. Improv Boston All-Stars have come from, of course, Boston.
Awesome.
They've won a lot of Best of Boston awards and have performed in Europe, Asia, pretty much all over.
That sounds like a really great time. Where do people get the schedule? Because it's online, right?
People get the schedule at asifest.org. We have tickets at all the regular outlets, and we also have a $50 all-session pass that's available exclusively online that gets you to all 10 sets.
That's a great bargain.
That is a screaming deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, super. So people can check that out online. And is there anything else we should know as far as you can get tickets out the door, though, if you're
a person
like me?
You can get tickets at the door. I've looked at the schedule, and Ben asked, well, you know, are there any shows that we should really watch bringing the kids to? And really, the only ones that I would say, no, don't bring the kids, are the all-ages show, or the over 21 shows.
Ruin your evening.
I like the first thing you said better. Let's get some kids for my show.
Okay, that sounds good. Don't bring the kids to those shows. Otherwise, you can get tickets online, or you can get them at the door, as per usual. And a full online calendar is available. Can you give us that website one more time?
It's asifest.com.
asifest.com. You know, if you haven't seen professional improvisers before, Eric, you have done such a great job in the last couple of years with this festival bringing us professional improvisers. If you haven't had a chance, Juno, to go see some long-form improv or something like that, get out. The stuff is funny. It's funny. It will make you and sometimes it's not funny, but it's moving in just the right moving way.
And if something's not funny, the next set will be.
Mm-hmm. Or else.
We do a one-on, one-off, good, bad, good,
good bad,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Nice. I also had one more question. Who is I saw a workshop about doing the musical long format or creating.
Oh, yes.
Who's doing that? That's great.
That's Mike DeCoto from Improv Boston. He was the founder of Second City's musical improv program. Stacy has worked with him before and can really speak to
Yeah,
training.
Mike is amazing. I went through the Second City musical program with him, and he was my teacher there. And everything I teach about musical improv, I've learned from Mike DeCoto, and now he's the artistic director at Improv Boston. So it is a fantastic workshop. I can't recommend it highly enough. So
yeah,
I would do that.
Tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Great. So check it out. Well, let's get that website one more time because I want to make sure people understand
get it in their heads.
The schedule.
Drill it in.
Yes.
It's on asifest.com, and the workshops are under the tab for improvisers.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for coming on Juno Afternoon to talk about this fabulous weekend. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah, have a good show.
You're a delight.
Thanks.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 23rd of April, 2015. It was on this day, 1635, Boston Latin School, the first public school in the United States, was founded. It's still in existence and still requires its students to study 4 years of Latin. It's the birthday of Vladimir Nabokov, St. Petersburg, Russia, 1899. His father was a lawyer, politician, family was well-to-do. Young Vladimir inherited an estate when he was 17, but he lost it the next year in the Bolshevik Revolution. They fled St. Petersburg, the whole family moved to England and then to Berlin. He left Berlin in 1936 with his wife Vera, who was Jewish, moved to Paris, then to the United States. He taught at a whole series of colleges, and in 1961, the success of his novel Lolita, which was made into a movie, enabled him to retire and write full-time. Nabokov, who wrote My Private Tragedy, which cannot and indeed should not be anybody's concern, is that I had to abandon my natural idiom, my untrammeled, rich, and infinitely docile Russian tongue for a second-rate brand of English. And it's the birthday of William Shakespeare, born in Stratford-upon-Avon, England, 1564, a little market town about 100 miles northwest of London, went to the local grammar school there. When he was 18, he married Anne Hathaway, who was pregnant with their first child, Susanna. 2 years later, they had twins. And then Shakespeare disappears from public record for about 7 years, during which he left his family, moved to London to go to work as an actor and a writer. He joined an acting troupe called the Lord Chamberlain's Men, and for them he wrote Romeo and Juliet, The Merchant of Venice, Midsummer Night's Dream. Richard II probably got a decent income from them. 1597, he bought a very large house in Stratford. His acting company built their own theater, which they called the Globe Theater. Most of his plays were performed there during his lifetime. He revised his will in March of 1616, died less than a month later, leaving almost everything to his eldest daughter. Shakespeare, who wrote 38 plays and more than 150 sonnets. Shakespeare, who said, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Here's a poem for today for Shakespeare's birthday, Shakespeare's sonnet, number 73. "That time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long." Shakespeare's sonnet number 73, "That time of year thou mayest in me behold." That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. Throughout the month of April, their favorite poem project, Florida, invites Floridians to submit their favorite poem. Florida-based listeners can submit their nominations at poetryfoundation.org/favorite poem Florida. And by Progressive Insurance, with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, and it's 33 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me now, I have Amy Skillbred and Reed Stoops with the Juno Community Foundation. Thank you for joining us here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the Juno Community Foundation, of course, is just a large giver to our community in many ways. And I was wondering, Amy, if you could give folks who might not know about the Community Foundation just a little background about the organization.
Yeah, the organization is about 10 years old as an independent community foundation. And we give out grants in a number of areas, including parks and rec, the arts, schools and education, social services, health and youth activities, and we have a program called the Youth Action Committee that also gives out grants.
Yeah, and so lots of organizations all over Juneau have really benefited from funds that the Community Foundation has given out through other programming as well. Yeah,
right. Juneau and Southeast for a lot of our grants.
That's great. And we have a very special grant that has kind of come along the pipeline. It's called the Hope Fund Grant Awards. And I was wondering if you could introduce that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. The Juno Hope Endowment Fund was established by a generous donation, and it's established in perpetuity. So we have an endowment, and we'll be giving out about $1 million a year from the Hope Endowment Fund. And this year, we just finished giving out the first round of grants, so it's been a really interesting process. And
yeah, this is the first time that we've had the opportunity to do this, so we had to figure out the best way to give out the grants. And what we came up with for the first year was to hold meetings with all of the nonprofits that were serving the constituency of the eligible areas, of which there are six. We invited them to submit grant applications. We put together a technical advisory committee and got volunteers from the community who weren't directly associated with those groups, but who had a lot of work experience with them. And the technical committee, along with our board, held a number of meetings to evaluate the applications that we received. And we got good applications and last week awarded 14 grants for over $1 million.
That's an amazing opportunity for local organizations. And what were those six areas of focus?
The Hope Fund covers substance abuse, suicide prevention, mental health, victims of violence, and hospice and homelessness. So it's a lot of areas. It's not everything, but a little bit of focus helps with something like this.
It does, and it is actually very specific, a social service focus.
Specific social service and also for providing services. So it's not for building buildings or maintaining buildings, it's providing services.
Yeah. And so what were the organizations that did receive grants this year?
The Gasno Human Services received funds for direct housing and rental assistance. And the Glory Hole, why don't we do two each maybe? And, the Glory Hole received funds for operating support while they're working on the Housing First project.
The Catholic Community Services received a generous grant for hospice services, which they administer. And Riverbend Elementary School received a grant for a counselor to support early childhood trauma services.
And Discovery Southeast received a grant for middle school student mental health and the communities and schools. The JUMP program, J-U-M-P-P, received funds for childhood trauma intervention and prevention services.
Alaska Legal Services received a grant to provide behavioral and mental health legal partnership support to organizations that they work with. And the Association for Education of Young Children received a grant for infant child trauma, mental health, and family support.
And Juno Youth Services has taken on the treatment foster care program, and so they received funds to start that program at Juno Youth Services. Also, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, received funding for their peer-to-peer support training and to deliver a couple of peer-to-peer programs.
Okay, and we gave a grant to REACH for infant parent mental health services and to the National Council of Alcohol and Drug Dependence to develop and provide services for young adults in the 18 to 24 age group who have substance abuse problems.
We also funded a grant to the Juneau Police Department to develop and build their crisis intervention team. The police department is often one of the first to work with people who have a mental health issue, and getting some training in that is important for the entire community. And then Juno Youth Services submitted a grant on behalf of the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, and so we funded that to support suicide prevention.
And we also provided a fairly large grant to AWARE to expand their services as part of their general operations.
It's really an amazing gift that this donor has given our community. And could you talk a little bit about how, because this is set up for the long term, right? I mean, it's an endowment, so it's going to keep on giving.
Correct. And so this coming year, we're looking at working with the different social service agencies that work in each of these areas and seeing if we can't develop some community priorities as well. And so have some collaborative efforts as well as the competitive grant part of it, but see what the real priorities are, especially given the funding situation in the state and in the city. You know, there may be it's time maybe to take a good look at how we're doing some things and what we can do.
And you mentioned before we got started on air that there's another grant or there's some more.
Right, the Douglas Dornan Fund. We're currently accepting applications and through June 1st, and you can go on our website, which is Juno, C as in Charlie, F as in Foundation.org, and learn more about the Douglas Dornan Fund and see if you fit into applying in that area, and that would be great.
And for next year, the Juno Hope Endowment Fund, if people want to apply, is there also people can look at that online and say, we might fit into something here?
Right. We'll be evaluating the work of the current grants over the summer, and then late in the fall, we'll be having additional meetings with the social service organizations that will be eligible, and our grant cycle usually begins about beginning of January and ends up with final decisions in the latter part of March.
Great. Amy, could you give us that website one more time for people who want to either find more information about the people who received the grants this year or even finding a grant for your own organization?
Yeah, and they can also look at what we do and whether they are interested in donating or starting a fund with the Juno Community Foundation. And so that website is Juno, C as in Charlie, F as in Foundation, so junocf.org, or they can call me at 523-5450.
Amy Skilbred, Reed Stoops, thank you so much for coming on to talk to us about the Juno Hope Endowment Fund and the Juno Community Foundation.
Thanks for inviting
us. Thank you.
Jazz and Classics with Bach, Brahms, and Baklava? Yes, take the Adventurous Catalyst Quartet, their original arrangement of Bach's Goldberg Variations. Add in local favorite, Paul Rosenthal for the Brahms Viola Quintet. And for dessert, Baklava. Sweet music, sweet treats, jazz and classics. Thursday, May 7th at 7 at Holy Trinity. More information and tickets at jazzandclassics.org, The Jack, Hearthside Books, and At the Door.
The School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast offers degrees that work. Online degree programs and courses in business, human resources, management, MIS, and accounting. Explore your options online at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast School of Management.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, and it's 44 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me, I have Tom Robinault and Sylvia Kwan, the director and one of the lead actresses in the upcoming Perseverance Theater production, Seven Homeless Mammoths Wander New England. Thank you for joining me in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this cool production because I love the title, I guess it's like a subtitle, an academic sex comedy.
That's right.
What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, it is an academic sex comedy. There is some there are some sexual situations in the production, and it's maybe a little bit more than you've seen in previous shows. At Perseverance Theater lately, and it's not just about the sexual content. There's also it's a generational divide and all that plays into the production. But yeah, it's a pretty sexy production as well.
Well, it's also, you know, they say an academic, and I like that part about it, too, because it is very much about university losing funding, which I think is something that is kind of on the forefront of a lot of some people's minds here.
Yeah, especially around the state. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And that really plays in. I mean, part of it is the dean of the school. It centers around the dean of a liberal arts school who's the board of the trustees is making her shut down a small natural history museum, and they're turning it into freshman dorms. So that's kind of the center around, you know, a lot of the frustrations that the dean has and her. And meanwhile, her ex-girlfriend of many years is moving back in. And at the same time, she has a new, much younger lover, Andromeda, who's at home. So that's where the kind of the comedy of manners ensue.
And speaking of the young new lover, Sylvia, you play a character called named Andromeda. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about her.
So Andromeda is a yogini. She is very at one with the universe, and she loves basically everyone she meets. She's a very transformational character, and yeah.
What do you mean by transformational?
I think Andromeda has gone through a lot in her own life, and I think that she feels the urge to help other people go through transformations in their lives.
Whether they want them or not.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Whether or not they want them. Yes. She is there to facilitate.
And she also has a personal kind of stake in whether or not this museum gets closed. I was wondering if you'd chat about that.
Absolutely.
So basically, this is the museum is known around campus for the place to go and make out or to have a lot of people's first sexual encounters are at the museum. Students go there after hours and do their business. And Andromeda says later on that it's one of the most magical places go on campus. And so we find out too that the dean and her older lover Greer. That's where they first met as well, as one of their first dates, and that's where they first had their encounter.
Right, and so it's that makes me laugh, because at this museum are these mammoths, right?
Yes.
And so everybody's wondering what to do with these mammoths. So it's pretty much becomes about the mammoth in the room.
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it deals with also death and extinction, and that's part of it. The closing of the museum is also a symbol of what's happening to one of the lead characters, Greer. She's unfortunately dying of cancer. And that brings in some tragedy in the play, which makes room for great comedy as well. Without that element, it's hard to have a great comedy. You have to have the tragedy that goes along with it. And so you have that conflict happening throughout the play.
And this is a really fabulous cast. When I look at this cast, I get excited about the potential of what I get to see, you know?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could just talk about, of course, we have Sylvia here who's playing Andromeda, but I was wondering if you could also fill us in on the rest of the cast.
Yeah, the driving force of the show is kind of the engine of the show, which you have in great comedies, is Rebecca Eddy. She's from Fairbanks. She was the managing director of Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. And, she's classically trained, and she's really good at handling those long speeches. The dean has these huge passages in the show, and she really handles them very well and keeps the pace going. That's kind of her job. Greer is kind of more of a straight man in a way, kind of sitting back and making a lot of comments, and she also is the person that brings a little bit of the tragedy into the show. That's played by Katie Jensen, who I'm sure many people know around town, one of the heads of theater in the Rough. We also have two UAS students, which is really great to have Brian Crowder and Patty. I can't remember Patty's last name. How do you pronounce it?
Kalbrenner,
that's right. And they're great. They play the talking diorama, so that's also a part. We have very lowbrow comedy that happens in this production, and that is the dioramas kind of come to life, and they represent all of these college students who have gone to the museum in prior years and have had their encounters, and they repeat that back to them. And we also have Mike Peterson, who hasn't been on stage for a while, a local Junoite, and he plays the caretaker. He does a great job with the caretaker. The caretaker basically represents the town and brings all the small town politics into the play. And that's what I think is really great about this play. It has a parallel to Juno with these small town politics and the passages he reads from the letters to the editor to the town board meeting minutes. So we've had tech people that are a part of this production who are just rolling with laughter, hearing those words, because it relates to meetings that they've been to and the kind of comedy and crazy situations that ensue in those meetings.
And there's also the police blotter, which I think
the town police blotter that Andromeda reads to Greer. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's really great. Sylvia, about this production has been something exciting for you to work on as an actor yourself?
I think this was probably one of the most challenging roles I've ever had to play, just because Andromeda has such a different viewpoint of life than I do, and I think she's also so accepting of everyone and their flaws. She's a character that I think we all kind of strive to be, and so that has been a personal challenge for me a little bit in understanding that and being more forgiving. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's teaching you a lot too, I guess.
Yes, she really, really is. And she's very happy, I mean, which is great, and I'm happy, but it's really fun.
Great. Tom, can we talk about just the nuts and bolts? We have about 10 more seconds. Can we just talk about the kind of when and the where?
Yeah, so at Perseverance Theater, we have on April 26th at 4 o'clock at Sunday, we have our first preview Pay As You Can. We also have on that Wednesday the 29th, we have a Pay As You Can preview at 7:30. We also have added a Thursday Pay As You Can, which is the 30th of April at 7:30 p.m., and we open on May 1st, and it runs through the 24th, and that's Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m.
And people can get tickets at the usual locations, Hearthside and the Jack.
Hearthside Books, the Jack, our website, 463-TIXS is our number to call and get tickets.
And what is the website again?
It's ptalaska.org.
ptalaska.org. Tom Robinault, Sylvia Kwan, the director and lead actor in Seven Homeless Mammoths Wander New England. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you.
Have a great show and break some legs.
Now I've heard the world's a secret chord that they've been played and it plays alone, but you don't really care for music, do ya? Now it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor four, and the major lift, the baffled king come rose and hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen.
And that's Patrice Hilmar, a once local, hopefully she'll come back sometime, doing Hallelujah, a cover of that tune. I just love hearing her play music, and maybe I'll get to again soon. The one, the only, Miss Nancy DeCherney. Art's up.
You've covered it all.
Done.
There's lots going on, of course. They are Alaska State Improv Festival's going on, and that's they have shows at 6 and 8 p.m. at McFeeters Hall, and then at the Hangar at 10 p.m. That's going on all this weekend. And if you buy tickets for that, we're also offering a discount to come to Second City, which is on Wednesday.
Ooh, nice little partnership.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about improv. That's what it is. On Friday from 11:30 to 1 is the annual Strawberry Luncheon and Fashion Show over at the Salvation Army. It's always a fun time and a really nice way to support wonderful things that the Salvation Army does. You need a place to go for lunch on Friday. There you go. From 5:30 to 9, it is the April Fowls and Foods Extension Weekend at DZ Middle School. I think they have classes and all that sort of stuff going on. Get ready for garden. I mean, it feels like spring, doesn't it?
Yes.
You should be in the garden tonight.
We had our first hummingbirds at our feeder last
night.
Wow,
we had hummingbirds. Yeah, they're here already.
Yay.
It's great. As a matter of fact, my hummingbird feeder's empty now, and I forgot to refill it. Oh, dear. 7 p.m. on Friday night out at the Egan Lecture Hall. It is the Tidal Echoes launch, the annual Tidal Echoes. And Fumi Matsumoto is doing a slideshow. I like the fact that they incorporate writing and art and all that stuff together, so it's very nice. And Friday and Saturday, we have Don Giovanni over at the Jack, a Juno Lyric Opera. It is an amazing, it has been a blessing all week long to hear them rehearsing. is beautiful.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Wow.
And then they are going to take it over to Sitka after this. One of the little lead singers is from Sitka. Beautiful voice. I mean, and who doesn't like a Mozart opera? They're so funny. People dumping in and out of windows and doors and stuff. So anyway, that's Friday and Saturday over at the Jack. Let's see. We have the April Fowls and Foods going on during Saturday. There's a GCI customer appreciation event at the GCI retail store out at the Airport Boulevard. I'm sure that means treats.
Must.
The Garden Club, the Juneau Garden Club Southeast Conference at the Baranoff Hotel. They're having all sorts of ways that you can design your garden and things like that. The Wetlands Community Cleanup from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. out on Henriksen Road. There is the Tlingit Language and Arts Showcase and Celebration at the Zach Gordon Youth Center on Saturday from 3 till 4. 7 p.m. at the Juneau Christian Center. It is the Mass for the Children, the Rudder Mass for Children. That's a collaboration between the Alaska Youth Choir, the Juneau Bach Society, and Thunder Mountain Symphony, I think. I can't remember. It's a collaboration of quite a bit, and it's beautiful music. So, and they have two opportunities, Saturday and Sunday afternoon, to see that. And, of course, Bamiya is in town.
They're out at UAS. We talked about it earlier. I love that. Saturday night, 9 p.m. free concert.
Yeah, out there go.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Let's see. And we are having the scholarship auditions on Sunday from 9 to 5 over at the Jack. And I think is there anything that we need to worry about coming up? Wednesday is the Best of Second City.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. It's the concluding thing for our season this year, and these people are funny. You need a laugh, especially this year. We seem to need a laugh, so come on down. Tickets at the door if you need them. But we are sort of running out of tickets, but I think we'll be able to fit people in at the door. So I want you to do that.
Yeah, and that Second City is an improv troupe. And I say troupe, but it's in a whole school, the whole building. They have their own theater. They're in Chicago, and they've been around forever. And Saturday Night Live, it's the roots of funny. Exactly.
Everybody you know who's funny started there.
Yes. I just agree with everything Nancy says.
Okay, just say it. And let's see, there's also an old-time jam happening over at the Alaska Hotel Bar at 7:30 on Wednesday. You can do that too, but I think you really need to be funny because it's been some unfunny going on around here lately.
That's true. Nancy, where can people go to get this calendar?
They can go to jahc.org or ktoo.org. And you can just, if you want it mailed to you, we send it out in an email form, usually Thursday afternoon or Friday morning.
Oh, so I had no idea.
Send us an email, nancy@jahc.org, and we'll get you on the E-list.
That sounds great.
It's like the A-list, only better.
Only it's excellent. Yeah.
Right.
Nancy DeTerney, thank you so much. We'll see you next week for all the arts happenings going around our fine town. Oh, jazz and classics is well on its way. Yeah. I'm a big, bad voodoo daddy. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in today to Juneau Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 23rd. It's 58 minutes past the hour. Bamiya, you can always also check out at 360 tomorrow night here at 7 p.m. Like I said, if you haven't gotten a chance to see Bamiya, definitely find either Friday or Saturday night a time to get out and see them. They're just an amazing Alaska artists.